Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour are brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. In the KSRO kitchen, we do a quick change from the greenhouse over to the KSRO kitchen with Chef John Ash. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you expect this wonderful rain this morning?
No, I didn't. I heard that this will be as much as we usually get for the whole month of May.
Well, that's okay.
And it's cold.
It is cold. It's rainy. And it's not going to rain out any Derby parties, I know. People are tough that go to the Derby. And the track is in good shape in Louisville this morning. I just checked the conditions.
You know, I heard that there were 20 horses entered.
I know.
Can they all get on the track at the same
time?
Well,
we don't know. Yeah, always up until post time, there's scratches.
Yeah.
Horses that don't end up running. So until really a few minutes before the race, things can change dramatically.
Yeah.
But it's pretty exciting.
Well, so do you have a favorite?
No, not yet. I look at the odds. I don't commit myself until shortly before I'm looking at the odds. And then I put some money down.
So if I give you a couple of bucks, will you?
I'll put it down for you.
Okay.
You know, it was so wonderful. God rest my mom. She's passed on many years ago, but she would always call me from Louisville on Saturday morning. Honey, who do you want me to bet for? Who do you want money on? And she was so wonderful because she'd most of the time go to the track or place. I don't know how she wagered. I didn't ask her that. But she was always so sweet about making sure.
And did she win?
Oh, a lot. My dad was terrible. He couldn't pick a winner to save him. But my mom just had a sixth sense about, I think, you know, we should be betting on this horse.
Well, the names are, that's how you have to pick them.
I think that's what she did. I don't think she could read a racing form at all. But she just kind of had a sixth sense about, oh, I like that one. That looks nice. And she had, I bet, as good a success as some of these.
So do we have anybody from the West Coast there? Or do you know?
Not that I know of this year.
Because that was when Jess Jackson was alive. He had horses entered.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
I remember there was a Sonoma County horse. This was 1995.
Yeah.
Was it Kevin Year? Was that the name of that horse?
You're amazing.
I think. That really put Sonoma County on the spotlight.
Yeah.
And Jess, of course, was really big into horse race breeding and had actually still owns a farm, I think, outside Lexington. And Barbara Banky, his wife, also very active still.
Can he make money raising horses? Probably not.
I think you need a great deal of money to even consider making any type of money. It's a vanity sport, let's face it. It costs millions to really get in. But it doesn't cost millions to make a Derby pie. And that's what I did.
And what is a Derby pie?
So a Derby pie is a trademark pie from Kern's Kitchen outside Louisville, Kentucky. They trademarked this pie probably 45, 50 years ago. And the Kern family still makes what's called Derby pie. So if you want to make a pie that has chocolate chips, pecans, you can't really call it Derby pie unless you want to be sued. And they have sued people that have gone commercial. Oh, absolutely. And one, you will cease and desist. You can call that pie anything else you want. Thoroughbred pie, Run for the Roses pie, Winner's Circle pie, et cetera, et cetera. But you really can't call it that. And their pies are shipped internationally. When I've gone back to Louisville over the years, I always bring back some frozen Derby pie. And they're terrific. They're a terrific pie. But you can make a pretty good approximation yourself as long as you follow the basic formula, which is...
And it's not on the Toll House package, right?
No, that one is not. But certainly a semi-sweet chocolate chips or chocolate chunks, depending. Actually, the smaller chocolate chips melt a little bit better on the bottom of your crust. And then basically a pecan pie custard is what you're making with melted butter, with flour for thickener, with a little bit of salt. I like to add about a quarter cup of corn syrup to mine. I've tried it without. Some people go, no, you don't need it. Well, there's about 500 different recipes for Derby pie. I find a little bit of corn syrup.
Does that ever have bourbon in it?
Yes, it does. But since I'm cooking this for a crowd, and even though I know the bourbon theoretically burns off, I just decide not to add that. And I don't really detect much of it for the quantities you use. And I don't want it to taste of bourbon, to tell you the truth. Yeah. I have that separately. But some people do and swear it's not a Derby pie unless there's bourbon in it. But I don't. I use a little vanilla extract in there also. And you melt that. You add your eggs and just blend it together with the flour, and et cetera, et cetera.
It's kind of a custard pie.
It is a custard. Yeah. It is very similar to a custard pie. I add I use pecans. Traditionally, the Kern family used walnuts, which they continue to do. You could use almonds if you wanted to, but pecans have become very popular lately in Derby pie. I do pre-bake that crust for about 10, 12 minutes. With some pie weights on it, just to give it a little browning. I prick the bottom of the crust, and then I add the chocolate chips on the bottom to melt, then add the custard, and into the oven it goes for 40 minutes to an hour. Just depends how fast or slow your oven, and you just have to monitor that pie. And that's all there is. I like to serve whipped cream on the side. Pie crust. Do you have a go-to pie crust that you've used for the last 40 years?
Well, not that I've used for the last 40 years. I experiment. I sort of see, you know, because there's always this thing about, it's a lard crust. No, it's a butter crust. You know, there's no, people don't agree.
But you have done a lot of pie recipes,
So I use half and half, shortening and butter.
Okay. And do you use a food processor?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. I've converted to a food processor over the years, over the last...
Well, it just makes it so easy and it's less messy.
Purists will go, no, you don't get the right consistency. There's no way you're going to overprocess that. You do anything enough, you're going to get the hang of it.
Yeah.
But I found the food processor to be the most forgiving and the most consistent.
Yeah.
And the pie I made last night, I've gone to the all butter camp. I was using a shortening for a long time, and now that I've gotten better doing pies, I don't really need the shortening. Some people say, "Oh, the texture gives it a little more pliability."
It also gives it, according to a couple of things I've read recently, it gives it a texture, the shortening, that you don't get with butter. That butter makes it heavy.
Yeah, not mine. I use a food processor one, and I'll tell you whose recipe I use is Kenji.
Yeah.
Kenji Alt-Lopez, who's a great cookbook writer, he really nailed this food processor pie recipe, and he said you don't need to add shortening as a safety, as a crutch.
Yeah.
You can do the butter if you do it my way. And basically he does it in stages. He adds the flour and he adds butter that's cut into about a quarter inch, 25, 30 pulses. And then he adds the last part of the flour. So he adds the flour in stages, which is really interesting. I think it's very interesting. And then dumps that into a bowl. Then he adds, and I'm a convert, vodka and water.
Mm.
I do think it's made a tender pie crust, even more tender over the years. Because I thought it was an affect. He introduced this method using vodka in your pie dough probably 25 years ago at Cook's Illustrated. And I did it off and on, but I become a convert. So I do a quarter cup of water and a quarter cup of vodka, and I blend that in with a spatula in the bowl, using that last part in the bowl, using
your
hand.
Not using the
food processor. No, you get better control. You don't overprocess it at that point. Just mixing that over and under until all the water, vodka is absorbed. Mm. Pretty much dialed in. And then I'm making two pies. I just separate it in half.
So do you make pie dough ahead?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does well. I make sure to take it out in plenty of time so it doesn't crack when I'm trying to roll it. But I'll do it and then overnight, and then the next morning I roll it out. It's quick and easy. And there's a couple other cheats I use. There's a wonderful little zippered plastic apparatus where you can put your dough in, flour it well, and then you can roll it in this zippered apparatus. I've used this for 20 years, John, because I don't do enough pies.
Yeah.
To have it in my hands. This keeps the flour and the dough in a perfect 11-inch diameter. You roll your roll. You flip it over. Remember, it's zipped. And make sure it's not sticking. Add a little flour more. Roll, 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 roll. It's so quick. It's so easy. And then I put the pie plate over, invert it, and it's done. You don't need to worry about flour going anywhere.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that hot hands thing. There are people who can't roll it out by hand because their hands are too hot.
You know, well, they do it. This saves having to try to get this up off your marble.
Yeah.
And sometimes you
marble.
Need, well, I have a marble slab that I bring in from the garage when I want to do pie. But it's a lot of time it sticks to the marble, yeah. And then the problem is you over flour it, and then your dough's going to get really tough. So this little zipped up plastic pie container has been the best investment I've had for 20 years.
And if you send $2.50 to KSRO.
To Steve Garner's grandma approved pie, it really works great. If you just invest in this, you won't be as pie phobic about, oh gosh, rolling it out, it's going to split, it's going to care. It works really well. And I believe you will adopt an all butter because there's nothing as flavorful as an all butter
really?
Pie crust.
Really? Oh,
you disagree.
Well, I don't know that I can tell the difference between all butter and half butter, half shortening.
Okay. Maybe it's just psychological that I believe is better. Well, it is quite tasty. And I would suggest you go, it's online, it's free, you know, it's not a paywall, to go to Kenji Altez Lopez, his pie dough recipe, and at least check it out and give the food processor method
He's so thorough in his exploration that you can trust him.
Now, I'm going to be, of course, sipping a little bourbon this afternoon, but I wasn't able to get my hands on this one. It says, hi, Steve. With the Kentucky Derby this Saturday, this is an email I got yesterday, stir up your Derby Day with a cocktail recipe that's a sure bet. The lucky ingredient? Chicken cock. Whiskey's Kentucky Straight Bourbon. Distilled, aged, and bottled in Kentucky. Old chicken cock. Kentucky straight
bourbon.
Had
you ever heard of it?
I had heard of it, but I'd never tasted it before. Yeah. And then, of course, they included their website, the whole history of old chicken cock, since 1856.
Whoa.
It's a remarkable story. And if you can even go to Wikipedia and learn about chicken cock. Listen to this. On 1897, the Corbett Fitzsimmons fight, the World Heavyweight Championship in Carson City, Nevada, between Gentleman Jim Corbett and Rusty Simmons. The local news reported that the manager of the G.G. White Distillery sent 45 barrels of chicken cock whiskey, most of it 18 years old, to Carson City, Nevada for the fight. The writer quipped, it doubtless caused many knockouts even before and after the fight. I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. And then in Duke Ellington's autobiography, it's called Music Is My Mistress. He talks about at the Cotton Club in the 1920s and 30s, where he played in Harlem, featured chicken cock, pure rye whiskey, as their house whiskey throughout Prohibition. In the memoir, he goes on to say, during the Prohibition period, you could always buy good whiskey from somebody in the Cotton Club. They used to have what they called chicken cock. It was a bottle in a can, and the can was sealed. It cost something like $10 to $14 a pint.
Wow.
When people were making probably $6 a week.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you go to your liquor store, most of the majors are now carrying chicken cock.
I've never seen it.
So that's what I have to contribute for the Derby portion of the show. We'll come back, and of course, Cinco de Mayo is right around the corner, and John Ash has a thing or two to say about this holiday.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, 96.9 in Petaluma, and 94.5 in Sonoma at KSRO.com and on the KSRO app.
Agricultural community farmers markets bring you fresh produce, meat, and dairy each week year-round.
Saturday and Wednesday mornings, 8:30 to 1, the tradition continues at the Santa Rosa Community Farmers Market in Farmers Lane Plaza. Coyote Family Farm has bunches of spring flowers alongside their crisp salad greens. Fidel's Gourmet Growers has a great variety of fresh and local mushrooms. The farmer's market is filled with spring blooms, including gorgeous tulips from poppies and petals. Santa Rosa Seafood offers the freshest fish around, available every Saturday, as well as specialty salads, cioppino, clam chowder, and local oysters from Marin. Jamaican Jerk has hot prepared Jamaican food for lunch or dinner. The Italian Corner offers items like cashew Alfredo sauce, chicken lemon ricotta ravioli, and Dungeness crab ravioli. Chava's Pizza makes everything from scratch and bakes your pizza to order in a wood-fired oven. Expanded curbside shopping service available.
Info online at ilovefarmersmarkets.org.
Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa has been taking excellent care of patients for over 30 years.
There's such a difference between doing things to people and taking good care of patients. And I've been blessed in my practice to be surrounded by people who know the difference.
Dr. Chernoff likes to use the term your natural best when advising patients on what procedures to have.
Our nicest compliment is always to create their aesthetic improvement such that no one ever knows that they've had it done. And that means creating a natural appearance, never a done appearance, never a pulled appearance.
He not only trains doctors and nurses nationwide, but also ensures his staff receives training to the same high standards.
I am proud to be referred to as a pioneer in the field of aesthetics because we have been deeply involved in the research and development of many techniques, both non-surgical and surgical.
Check the specials and services at ChernoffCosmeticSurgery.com.
Does your business need advertising but cash flow is a challenge? Then contact us at the My Sonoma Deals program. It's a cashless program based on trade. Are you a restaurant, a golf course, a boutique, car wash, bowling alley, jewelry store, or florist? There are so many categories. Contact My Sonoma Deals now to find out if your business qualifies. Just go online to MySonomaDeals.com and click on contact. That's MySonomaDeals.com and click on contact.
Ungaro & Sons knows youth sports can be a powerful influence, inspiring, empowering, and transforming lives. When you support our young athletes with your time, equipment donations, and money, it really does make a difference. Because We Care underwriter, Ungaro & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, Electrical, and Solar urges you to choose your favorite sport and invest in the development of future leaders and role models. Contact a local youth sports program today and make a difference for Sonoma County youth.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, America's longest-running radio food show, celebrating our 38th year. It's great to be here with John, as always. And at 11:35, we'll be joined by Octavio Diaz. And Octavio, I think of as kind of the padrone of the Matote Food Park in Roseland. He's been kind of the visionary that they chose to to shepherd this project into to a first of its kind, this this fabulous food park in the Roseland area. And it's going to be the site of the finally we're getting a full blown Cinco de Mayo celebration tomorrow. You'll be on at 11:30. So you've written about Cinco de Mayo extensively, and you had a wonderful article that appeared in the PD, gosh, it was about 4 years ago, 2020, the Cinco de Mayo recipes. So how did the Cinco de Mayo come to be?
Well, if you ask most Americans, they'll say something like, well, it has something to do with Mexican Independence Day, which, of course, it doesn't.
Well, a lot of people, that's news right there.
Yeah, Mexican Independence Day is in September, not in May.
Okay.
It turns out the short story is that Corona beer, of all people, jumped on Cinco de Mayo and made it a, you know, just a, went crazy advertising it and all that stuff as a way to get Americans to drink Mexican beer. And it took. And it worked, you know. If you think about it, look around. Corona, you'll see Corona advertising and all that stuff for it, along with all of the other Mexican beers. It became an official holiday in the United States in 2005 when Congress declared it as such and called upon the President of the United States to issue a proclamation.
And did George W. Bush do that during his
year?
Wow. So do you think that, I'm just wondering, I'm not pointing fingers, but there might have been a strong Corona lobby that might have contributed to some progression?
Well, smart marketers. Smart marketers. And, I mean, Cinco de Mayo is the celebration of a little-known Mexican army defeat, one of the few defeats that they ever accomplished of
the French, right?
Of the French, yeah. They beat them, and it was it was in Puebla.
Oh. So in the Mexican state of Puebla, they have a legitimate claim to celebrate Cinco de Mayo as the defeat of the French army. But everybody else really didn't have it until Corona jumped on
this. And the Mexicans don't care so much about it.
It's not a big deal at all, is it? It's an American
celebration. It's a big deal maybe in Puebla, but
besides that.
But yeah, if you go into Mexico, any place else, they don't care.
Well, it does not stop millions and millions of bottles of not only Corona, but Dos Equis and every other Mexican beer from being consumed.
Yeah.
And a chance for people to get together and celebrate,
which
is nice. So you created this terrific menu, starting with Sangrita. What is Sangrita? Is it like sangria?
It is like sangria, except it's... you know, it's kind of like a dirty sangria. It uses tomato juice and orange juice and Worcestershire and the brine of green olives, you know, which gives it its characteristic flavor. And you blend all that together and use it with tequila, you know, if you want.
Or mezcal.
Or mezcal or any of those south of the border liqueurs.
So is this, but where shrimp comes into it, doesn't it, somewhere?
Sometimes, yeah. If you order a sangrita in Mexico, they'll put a cooked shrimp or something, or a skewered shrimp on top of it.
I like that.
Yeah, it's delicious.
So a little.
It really is great, yeah. So I've used it a lot in catering and stuff like that.
As a nice little starter hors d'oeuvre or first course.
To celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
That's wonderful. So it's some tomato juice, orange juice, lime, lemon juice, a little brown sugar, Worcestershire, and then the dash of olive brine from a jar of green olives, a little hot sauce to taste, and then we blend this together, chill it for an hour or two, and then taste again right before serving, and put a little skewer, maybe a little toothpick or something.
If you want, And you could use any other. You could use a scallop. You could use God knows whatever you want.
Whatever you got handy. Yeah. Oh, I love that. I like the idea of the sangrita. Yeah. That's really cool. And this makes enough for 16 drinks or so served in. And you do shot glasses? Is that how you use this?
Well, like big shot glasses, you know, the double size ones.
Like the 2 ounce size, full big ones, not the 1 ounce size. No. Not enough. Okay, and then we move on to, now you introduced me to this and probably to a lot of people, avocado fries.
Yeah, I sort of came up with this recipe a long time ago.
But it's in restaurants all over the country
I know, and then a lot of people stole the idea from me. They owe me.
For every avocado.
That's right, every avocado fry. And avocado fries were done in a batter. And I didn't particularly like it because they got a little greasy. I mean, the avocado is already oily, and you put it in a batter, and I don't know. It made the avocado less enjoyable,
okay.
I think. So I did it with panko crumbs.
So it's not a wet batter?
No.
So how does this come together? How do you make this?
You just do
it. Roll it in.
But do it in an egg to get the breadcrumbs or the panko crumbs to stick, and fry it.
It's really that simple. Is it a deep fry or a shallow fry? Well, how do you do it?
Well, however you fry it, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm always worried about so much oil being absorbed.
Shallow fry it. That would be my recommendation for you.
Okay. And do you use a special oil or whatever you have handy?
Just use whatever you usually use to fry foods in.
Okay. So you would need certainly a little less ripe avocado, one that's firm.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got some oil. We've got a ripe, firm avocado. Now you do a little bit of flour seasoned with salt and pepper.
It's just to help if you read any recipe for deep frying anything, it always has you tossing whatever it is you're going to fry in oil to lightly coat it. The flour helps the coating to stick. It doesn't fall away.
Okay.
Which is what I'll.
And panko, and you serve a little chipotle aioli.
Yeah.
On the side.
And the easy way to make chipotle aioli is take some mayonnaise and add a little bit of canned chipotle to it.
That's all it is?
Yeah.
And a little squirt of lime juice or so. Okay. And maybe a little cilantro, because I have to have cilantro and everything. And then why don't we do one more recipe before we take our break at the bottom of the hour? Mexican lentil soup. Oh, boy, does that sound delicious on a cold, rainy day.
I love lentil soup. So this is just lentil soup done with Mexican flavors.
Which would be like, what, oregano?
Cumin and oregano and chili and the lentils, which you've cooked and all of that stuff. And then I stir in just at the end a little bit of fresh salsa.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yeah.
Are you adverse to using canned lentils? I know you like to do fresh beans and lentils.
Well, why? Why use canned lentils? They're expensive.
You can
use dried lentils. You don't have to soak lentils, by the way. You just cook them, rinse them, and cook them. You know,
aren't there like green, red? Are there different colored lentils?
There are. They're green and black. And
so you could do a variety color-wise.
Well, you could. But why?
No, that's just me thinking. But you would just choose one color, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay. And, now what is this? Let's see. Pozole blanco. What is that?
Well, pozole is a classic dish generally made with some kind of meat, usually with goat, which you can get at Mexican markets and things like that. But you can make it with chicken or with pork or with whatever it is. And it is a recipe that uses white pozole, hominy. In there. So that's the thing you use. And then you just garnish it with all kinds of things, whatever you like, avocado and tomato and
radish.
Cilantro and lime. And
radishes, too?
And radishes, yes, traditionally done.
So for this pozole, you can use canned. You wouldn't try to make fresh pozole?
Well, you don't need to, but it's better. Canned pozole, canned hominy, which you've seen in the market, is perfectly fine. It's easy to use. The dried pozole, which you cook from scratch, takes a while to cook, but it has a better flavor.
It does, so that's what you, if you got the time to do it, use it from scratch. And then you add a salsa Colorado.
Yeah.
Is this a real hot? Well, let's see.
No, it's not hot at all. It's Colorado means red. So it's a red salsa that you just drizzle in it. So it's a wonderful garnish.
Beautiful. And then we get into the main course. Not that these others couldn't
serve as
a main.
You're going through them all.
I love this. These are such great recipes. The grilled marinated flank steak with lime chipotle sauce. And heck, with summer right around the corner, this is a great, is this good for the grill? I would guess it would be.
That's why it's called grilled.
Oh, it says grilled right there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're a fan of flank steak, or you wouldn't have created this recipe.
Well, flank steak is really popular in Mexico. Number one, because it's less expensive. It used to be cheap. Mm-hmm. It's not so cheap anymore, but you can do it. You can do it quickly. You can. It's a little chewy, which is great. Slice it. It goes in all kinds of things.
Is the key to not overcook it? Does it get tough if you overcook flank steak?
It does. It gets dry and tough.
So it has to be a quick grill.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is also one of its advantages.
Oh, you'd have to wait forever to get this cooked.
No.
Which is nice. Yeah. And then you do a lime chipotle sauce on that. Beautiful. And then, we've got to do the dessert. Well, why don't we wait on dessert?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can.
And we'll chat about the big Cinco de Mayo Festival happening tomorrow in Roseland. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
It's spring in the North Bay. Let ARS Roofing and Gutters ensure your home stays protected and dry.
ARS is your premier choice for roofing and gutter needs in Sonoma and Marin counties. Under the leadership of President and CEO Letitia Henke, ARS is not just a roofing expert. It's a community-driven force.
Did you know that Letitia Henke founded the Lime Foundation?
This nonprofit organization is making a real impact on the lives of our youth and seniors through programs like the Next Gen Trades Academy. The Next Gen Trades Academy introduces underserved and at-risk youth to alternative career paths in the trades, creating opportunities and transforming lives.
Let's not forget about your roof needs.
ARS is equipped for routine maintenance, repairs, and emergencies. Save our 24-hour hotline number, 707-584-5900. Trust ARS to keep you protected and dry year-round.
More info at arsroofing.com.
ARS Roofing and Gutters, blooming protection against spring showers, cultivating connections with our community year-round.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first thing they ask me, after they tell me how amazing I look, is, "Where did you go? I want that." My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your complimentary consultation with Dr. Tom, call 707-542-8346.
Let's stay young together.
Visit Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui. Online at drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com.
Hurry, this is your last chance. If you're a seasoned marketer or just dipping your toe in the digital waters, join us for Digital Download on May 7th from 5 to 7 at Charlie's at the Windsor Golf Club and discover the latest innovations and tools in the digital marketing universe. Enjoy local wine, tasty snacks, and stimulating conversation all at no cost. Register now at waterdropdigital.com to secure your seat. Elevate your digital presence. Visit waterdropdigital.com to register today.
At American Ag Credit, our real estate loans are tailored for farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. Whether you're refinancing a mortgage, expanding your operation, or looking to make your land ownership dream a reality, we're here to support you with financing that works as hard as you do. We offer real estate financing with flexible terms and country home loans through programs like Rural First, with quick approval and unmatched service. For more information, visit agloan.com. American Ag Credit, your future grows here.
I'm KSL Rosedale and Tercias with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. It's going to be quite rainy today. 3/4 of an inch expected in Santa Rosa. High of 60 degrees there. 54 along the coast. Could see more rain amounts along the coast and then higher elevations. Wind gusts 25 miles an hour across the county. Mostly clear skies for tonight. Low 41 degrees. Sunny then for tomorrow with gusty conditions. Temps in the mid-60s. Depend on weather every 30 minutes. On FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9, KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. And we've had the pleasure of Octavio Diaz's company on a number of occasions over the past several years. Octavio is kind of the the spiritual and the business and guiding visionary for Metote, the beautiful food park in Roseland, which is the site of the, I believe it's the 15th annual Cinco de Mayo Festival. And he's on the line with us to talk about the excitement in finally getting back on track and having a full event. Good morning, Octavio. Thanks for joining John and me.
Good morning, Steve. Good morning, John. Thank you for having me over the phone. It's a pleasure. I love being in your show, but you know the rain is up on us, and we're really excited to return back in Roseland, and I think the community will be really pleased.
So when
again,
was
they're really excited.
When was the first festival?
So the first festival was about are you asking me before the pandemic or since the pandemic?
Yes, before the pandemic.
Before the pandemic, because it was a regular event.
It was a regular annual event, but remember, we took a break between the pandemic. Sylvia Lemus has been in charge of this event and their team. So there's a group of local, it's a nonprofit, it's a local group of Santa Rosans that have been putting this together for the last 20 years.
Remarkable.
We took a break after the pandemic for 3 years, and we had it last year, remember? But
it was small, much smaller.
It was very small, yeah, and it was raining, you know, like today. but now the rain is a day before, so hopefully the weather cooperates with us tomorrow.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
Yeah, it's supposed to be great.
It's supposed to be a nice sunny day, and we're really excited about that. And everybody is asking, where should we park? What should we do? And it's a family event. There's going to be lots of food, art shows, food, cars, you know, you name it. And it's going to be on the Roseland Sevastopol Road, all the way from Western Avenue, all the way to the corner of Dutton and Stony Sevastopol Road by Lola's.
Yeah, it's just that area between West Avenue and Dutton. Mm. All of it takes place. So Metote is kind of the epicenter for it, isn't it?
Well, we are sort of like in the center. The stage is going to be off to the side there. Exciting because there's a lot of music, local bands, and there's going to be, one after the next one starts at 3 p.m. And there's going to be a free shuttle and parking in the Santa Rosa JC campus, which is on 950 South Wright Street, right down the street from Sevastopol Road.
Oh, that's great. So Rose, is it Rosie the Trolley will bring bringing people over?
I am not sure. I think that was the original plan, but I'm not sure what. There's going to be a shuttle, but I'm not sure which type of transportation company will be there.
Well, the thing that sets this apart, because it's interesting, I'm sure you'll agree, Octavio, the whole focus for many people of celebrating Cinco de Mayo is how much beer we can drink.
Right.
And that really, and that's different because you said this is a family-focused event. Is it non-alcoholic, the event?
It's a non-alcoholic, and however, we do have a license inside Metote, so it's going to be serving the food trucks, the regular food trucks, food, and also we're going to open the bar for just beer and wine, but as soon as we see that the crowd is, you know, well-behaved, you know, it's all based on the crowd, and we're not going to serve hard alcohol. It's a free event. People can only drink in a certain area. You cannot be walking with alcohol on the street, you know. So it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of security. The Santa Rosa has been very supportive. The chief of police, Chief Cregan, and also Marikisha Smith, the city manager, have been extremely, extremely supportive of this event, and also, you know, being their main sponsors, major sponsors for the event.
And there's also a charitable fundraising aspect, the Reina contest. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
There is a lot of different contests going on. There's so many things going on that it's there is La Reina, the Spanish magazine selects a new Reina. Princesa and Miss Wine Country, and they're all participating in this event. They're going to be a sort of like a festival with a music band marching down Sevastopol Road from one business to the next, and it's sort of like, you know, celebrating art and culture, and that's what that category falls under. But there's a lot of folkloric art, a lot of dancers, lots of dancers, and the festivity, like I said, kicks off right at 3 p.m. and it goes until 8 p.m.
I've seen Ballet Folklorico. Mm-hmm. They're going to be there, aren't they?
They are going to be there. I'm not sure what time they're going to be dancing, but it's going to be between 4 and 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. So, you know, bring your chairs, come on down, bring the family, get some exercise and walk around. It's going to be all walking, you know, within walking distance. So everything's going to be a family gathering.
And they're cars, aren't there? Lowrider cars?
There's a planned station for the lowrider cars to come. The lowrider Unity Council is bringing their cars. There's a lot of people that own really classic cars, and these cars are incredibly a piece of art. There's a lot of different designs. Some are really old classic cars, and some are newer. But for the most part, I think they're going to bring a lot of the lowriders classic cars, and they're going to be stationed nearby where the stage is, so it's people can see them. They can see the colors. They can see what they do. Some have hydraulics. So it's more of an inspirational for little kids that it's not just a lowrider. It's more of an art piece to it, and it highlights the culture of Mexican, the pride of Mexico.
So what about food?
Oh, yeah, there's food, isn't there?
Well, yeah, you have to have some food. But there's going to be a ton of food. So what I suggest is come on an empty stomach so you can try a little bit of everything, because there's going to be popcorn, there's going to be chicken, there's going to be barbecue, there's going to be hot dogs, there's going to be burgers, and obviously tacos.
Wow. Will there be the food trucks will be there also set up?
We have 7 food trucks that are parked there all along Mitote, but there's also lots of food vendors outside of Mitote, like on the street or on the behind Mitote. There's no access to cars between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., I would say, for that area. So it's going to be all closed off to cars. It's only for food vendors because there's going to be a lot of pedestrians, a lot of walking traffic.
Well, it'll be nice and safe, too.
Yeah.
Yes, it should be. Come on down. It's a great area. It's a great festival. We want to support it. It's the 15th festival again in Roseland, and the Roselands won it back. Santa Rosa wanted it back. So Sylvia Lemos has been doing an incredible job putting this together with her team and our team, and it's been wonderful to see this happen again. And let's have a safe Cinco de Mayo tomorrow.
Well, I'm excited about seeing the mariachi band. Mm-hmm. I love mariachi
There's several. There's going to be several mariachi bands. So there's one younger band that's going to be playing there. And I believe they all have their times after 3 p.m. on stage.
Okay.
So you get to see a lot of different types of music, too. Not just one type, but different types from different states of Mexico and South and Central America.
Well, it's a wonderful way to show your love and support and the cultural and the spiritual component of Roseland, how vibrant this community is. And there's no better way than attending the 15th annual. Remember, it hasn't really been held in full since 2019. So this is a real welcome back celebration. It's tomorrow beginning at 3 p.m. It's free. You can stroll around, enjoy all the music, all the entertainment, lots of great food and beverages. And it's a terrific way to spend time with the family and friends tomorrow. I guess you'll be there, won't you, Octavio?
I will be walking around, eating, and you know, just kind of shaking everybody's hands and thanking everybody. And, you know, it's a family event. There's nothing like this in Santa Rosa other than the Rose Parade. And Roseland has its own uniqueness, and I'm really proud to be part of it. And we're sort of like the center where the stage is, so we want to do good. You know, we want to make sure that everybody's having a great time, and it's a family event. And, you know, it's more for the kids, so they learn that how to really inspire the younger kids so they continue with the tradition of Cinco de Mayo.
Thank you for spending time. John, did you have a final
question? Yeah. Can you just briefly tell us about how Mitote came about?
Yes. So Mitote... It basically is what's, in a sense, the Cinco de Mayo. It's celebrating arts, food, and culture, and it's also sharing the best of you as a good person. That's why we have a Bonacera. Bonacera is being a good wax. Be a good person when you're there and you're leaving Mitote. So Roseland, we're trying to inspire more of everybody, you know, as we have been inspired by other leaders in Sonoma County and also from Roseland. that we got to keep that area clean. We got to keep doing good in the area and giving back to that area that you love the most and respect the most. So let's keep it safe. Let's keep it clean, and let's have fun with everybody. And that's really what Mitote is. And it's for everybody. It's not just a specific group of people. And that's the beauty of it, that Mitote has able to be that anchor to bring a community together in a safe manner.
Octavio, thank you so much for spending this time with John and me, and have a fabulous festival and successful tomorrow.
It's a pleasure.
Our pleasure.
Always a pleasure being with you. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Hope to see you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we have a surprise Kentucky Derby dessert.
Oh, boy.
To close up the show.
Delivering the facts.
The source I can trust.
KSRO, Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and 96.9 in Petaluma.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
North Bay Honor Flight is a Santa Rosa-based nonprofit whose mission is to transport our local veterans to visit their memorials in Washington, D.C. at no cost to the honored veteran. The goal is to honor the service of our Vietnam, Korea, and World War II veterans and give them the warm and celebratory homecoming they deserved but never received. Right now, we need volunteers and donations. Please join us in giving our veterans one final tour with honor. Go to NorthBayHonorFlight.org. NorthBayHonorFlight.org. You're in charge of a huge event, and everything's ready, except one thing.
Flowers?
No. How do you protect attendees? Santa Rosa's SoCo Private Security provides peace of mind for the smallest private event to the largest fairs and festivals. SoCo Private Security guards have the training and apparel to make your special event special. More info at SoCoPrivateSecurity.com. SoCo Private Security, the new breed in security.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy.
Hi, I'm Dorothy Rodella, manager of the Sebastopol branch at Exchange Bank. We know that growing your business comes with a lot of hurdles. Working with an experienced banker who understands your unique business banking needs, be it a line of credit, a business loan, or merchant services, means you have a partner by your side who can help clear those hurdles. At Exchange Bank, we're here to help. Learn more at exchangebank.com.
Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans subject to credit approval.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash. And to celebrate Derby officially, I have a surprise for you, John Ash.
What's that?
I'm going to pass this over to you, and it's taken all my willpower to hold on to these.
What are you
to
doing?
Give to you.
Oh, my goodness. You have sent me these magically, and I guess this place still exists.
Yes. It's the magic candy from Kentucky. It's called a Modjeska, M-O-D-J-E-S-K-A. Madame Helena Modjeska, Polish actress and famed queen of the European stage. Her appearance in 1883 at the Macaulay Theater in Louisville, Kentucky, in the debut of a play, A Doll's House, written by Henrik Ibsen. Mr. Anton Busath, owner of Busath Candy, was so enthralled by her performance he asked for and received permission to name his confection after her, the famous Modjeska. And the candy company, Muth's Candy, when the last of the, when Anton Busath died and the family decided to relinquish control, they bequeathed the recipe to Muth's Candy, M-U-T-H-S, in Louisville, Kentucky. This is the original recipe created by Chef Anton in 1883, 1884.
It's unlike anything I've ever had.
It is a marshmallow-based confection with caramel. Mm-hmm. There's other candy stores in Louisville that do it very, very well. But if you want the original, order from Muth's Candy in Louisville, Kentucky, and enjoy the Derby next year because it's not time to get it today.
So spell Muth's.
M-U-T-H.
Okay.
Muth's Candy. That's my treat. John can't talk because his mouth is full of a Majesca, but we'll be back.
It's because I put a whole Majesca in at one time.
It's good, though, isn't it?
It's stuck in my throat.
We'll give him a chance to clear his windpipe back after this.
The Ramsey Show, Saturday and Sunday afternoons, 3 to 6 on KSRO, is brought to you by Cobran Financial. Can you retire? Find out with Cobran Financial.
Right now, there are buyers waiting for your home to come on the market. To help you navigate the busy spring market, meet the North Bay's newest mother-daughter real estate team, the Norman Home Team.
This is Allison Norman. When you work with the Norman Home Team, you get my nearly two decades of experience in all areas of residential real estate, including senior relocation, trust and probate, veterans, investors, and land. Stephanie brings valuable insight to help our millennial and Gen Z buyers.
I'm Stephanie Norman. I've worked in and around real estate for over 14 years. Now, as a licensed real estate agent, I can help our buyers and sellers through the entire transaction.
Picture this, a team with a wide range of expertise, a seasoned negotiator, and a tech-savvy millennial with a shared passion